prayers by the original preceptor of our sampradaya, the Brahma sampradaya, the expression of the mature stage of his realization, having darshan of the spiritual world and the presiding personality of the spiritual world, from whom he derived the intelligence and the creative potency to create the universe, fixed his consciousness on the personality of Godhead, and delivered these very beautiful prayers. So, vibrating these prayers, it purifies, invokes auspiciousness, as at the beginning of some auspicious event, invoking of auspiciousness by chanting of various prayers. We have on our four corners of the yajna arena our nice brahmanas that are supposed to be reading scripture softly, like now. Softly. To create auspiciousness for the auspicious event of one of the most important events in the soul's life. Not the soul's life, the body's life. The soul, do you have any very new people here? Like new? No. Okay. So you know what samskaras are. This is one of the principal samskaras, the juncture points when the soul is transiting through one stage of life to another stage of life. So like the soul before the soul enters into the womb of the mother, a samskara is performed to purify that auspicious, to make auspicious the movement of the soul into the womb of the mother. And then at the stage where the soul becomes conscious, from susupti to the conscious state, or deep sleep consciousness to awakened state of consciousness, then another. And then the separation of the body from the mother at the time of birth, the cutting the umbilical cord and creating auspiciousness through another samskara. And then the independence of the tiny child from the mother by, instead of feeding from the body of the mother, feeding from grains. And like this, the soul passing from one stage of life to the next stage of life. The idea is to create an auspicious transition. Now, there are different ideas of what auspiciousness means. There's the material auspiciousness that says, I'll have good fortune in my life because I observed samskaras in my life or for my child's life, and they'll move from misfortune to good fortune, and good fortune meaning the other material kind of good fortune. Obstacles in their life will be less because we've done these rituals for our child and from now for ourselves as an adult. But ultimately the journey of the soul is to go back to Godhead. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Vai Bhakti Lata Bija. In that Brahmanda Brahmite, Brahmanda means this universe. Brahmite means wandering or transmigrating. The soul moving not only in this life from prenatal and so on and so on and so on and so on, and then another cycle and then another cycle, but wandering not only in the human form of life and all different species of life. One time Prabhupada said, assume safely that you've experienced all the different species of life before coming to this human form of life, and that's a lot of species. 8 million different species before the 400,000 human species. And take a look at some wildlife pictures or National Geographic pictures of all the different forms of life there are, like sea life and insect life and some really wild ones, and imagine what the consciousness is of being in one of those guys' bodies. What kind of desires and karma one must have to get in that situation. Whew. And after sojourning through so many different situations, finally coming to the human form of life. And in the human form of life, finally coming to the position where one is regulated under the codes of the Vedas, and finally the association of someone who has transcendental knowledge, and finally being engaged in the process of devotional service, and finally being connected by this particular samskara to the line of disciplic succession. That's the elevator instead of the staircase. Very quickly, if one follows properly, by this greatest of all fortunes, connecting with the line of disciplic succession, to go in this one lifetime, I'll say it again, in this one lifetime, to go back home, back to Godhead. Now that's not ordinary, going back home, back to Godhead. One of the discussions that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave, you've maybe heard this before or not, but he was speaking very strongly about the same message. One must become 100% pure in order to go back to Godhead. That's the purpose of this human form of life. And as he was speaking, the explanation said he saw heads drop. I won't be able to go back to Godhead unless I'm 100% pure. So he paused. And he said, at least 80%. Some heads came up. A number of heads stayed down. And then he stood up dramatically, took his chadar and threw his chadar over his shoulder. At least 75%. And then he walked out of the room. So, therefore, diksha was translated by Prabhupada as initiation. It's a beginning. Initiation means beginning something. Like you initiate a journey or initiate a business or do something, invoke auspiciousness at the beginning of something. Like beginning of marriage, sangskara for, vivaha sangskara, for invoking auspiciousness to embark on some important journey of the soul's transitioning in life. The ideal is so that the impression, sangskara impression, is to assist the soul in the ultimate destination of the soul. So that's what's happening here. And amongst the samskaras, this diksha samskara is most important. Specifically, it signifies being accepted by disciplic succession. We have on our altar Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gorkishore Das Babaji, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji. And the whole line of disciplic succession, although their pictures are not here, when the new temple is opened in Mayapur, the plan is the entire disciplic succession back to Brahma is going to be pictured on that altar. The backdrop will be like not just like a curtain kind of backdrop, but three-dimensional bas-relief figures of Lord Brahma, Narada, Vyas, Madhvacharya, like that. And then murtis of some of the more recent disciplic succession, because the pujaris have to be able to move around. They couldn't. It would take them half a day just to worship the entire disciplic succession. And then they get ready to put them to rest. So we'll see the entire disciplic succession. So what's happening here is acceptance by the entire disciplic succession as part of Achyuta Gotra. Just as with first birth, it's Gotra, or a particular line of family in which the body is born. And then one receives a name that indicates connection with the personality of Godhead. Vishnu Das, Krishna Das, Madhava Das, Govinda Das, some name of the personality of Godhead, to indicate the servant of the personality of Godhead. That's what was happening. Most meaningful. So, following Srila Prabhupada, I'd like to make reference, as he invariably did when speaking about initiation, this event, two particular verses. I'd like to make reference to them. One of them is from the 11th canto. Sage Prabhuda is speaking to King Nimi and explaining what we're doing. Actually, the verse is saying two things. The qualifications of the initiate, the qualifications of the guru. So, by the way, those of you that want to get a good score on your initiation exam, everyone's paying attention now. The verse I'm about to speak is the answer to one of the good answers to the first question. Ooh, the pens and pads are coming out. Tasmat guru prapadyeta jigyasu shreya uttamam shabde parecha nishnatam brahmani upashamashrayam. You'll find the verse in the 11th canto, chapter 3, where the sages, the Navayogendras, are describing to King Nimi many things, and in this verse they're describing tasmat. It's referring to something happening previously. Therefore, therefore is the person who's seeking ultimate happiness, not the other kind, not the ephemeral, transitory, now you see it, now you don't, so-called happiness. Happiness that very quickly turns into distress. But real happiness, happiness that's permanent and ever-increasing, the kind of happiness we're all hankering for. Not the temporal, but the eternal, substantial happiness. Tasmat guru prapadyeta jigyasu shreya uttama. There are these two terms, shreyas and prayas. Prayas means short-term benefit. And shreyas means long-term benefit. And shreya uttama means ultimate long-term benefit. And jigyasu means inquisitive and ultimate long-term benefit. For those persons, such persons, who want long-term ultimate benefit, they require spiritual master, and they require a relationship with spiritual master where they prapadyeta, they surrender to a spiritual master. And surrender to a spiritual master means the entire disciplic succession. Being accepted by the spiritual master means being accepted by the entire disciplic succession. And we have an awesome disciplic succession. So it's not an ordinary acceptance. Like you make an application to a college and they give you back an acceptance letter. Some of our young devotees are doing that. Yay, I got accepted at some colleges. This is getting accepted by the personality of Godhead and the entire disciplic succession as, you know, not just a card-carrying member of the Krishna club, but an eternal associate of Krishna. Because due to misuse of our free will, we turned our back on Krishna and walked. That wasn't very smart. In fact, it was really dumb. And we've suffered incredibly from that big, big mistake of misuse of free will. And that's the Brahmite, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona. By wandering and wandering and wondering and scratching our head and running against the wall and continuing to do it for countless lifetimes, just like a donkey, foolishly carrying the burden of our so-called duties of life and trying to find happiness through donkey life. It's really very foolish. Very foolish. And somehow, by good fortune, Bhagyavan, There's Bhagavan and Bhagyavan. Bhagavan is Krishna, the personality of Godhead who has all opulences. And Bhagyavan is one who receives the mercy of Bhagavan. Bhagyavan, Jeev. Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai, Bhakti Lata Bij. By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, receives this seed. But there's a qualification. Inquisitiveness. And not inquisitiveness in what's the price of rice? Or how can I get, you know, a solution to my tax problem or my this problem, that problem. Something of this temporal realm. Ultimately, the ultimate happiness, one who is so inquisitive, they're eligible. That's the qualification on the disciple side. And then, so for this first question of the initiation exam, here's the answer. I won't tell you what the question is, but you can figure it out. Well, the question is, what's the qualification of a spiritual master? Shabde parecha nishnatam brahmani upashamashrayam. Shabde comes, shabda, the transcendental sound vibration, shabda praman, spiritual sound vibration, shabde pare, transcendental spiritual sound vibration, chanishnatam, thoroughly conversant in the knowledge of the scriptures, and sufficient to remove the doubts and uncertainties in the hearts and the minds of persons who approach that individual. Shabde parecha nishnatam brahmani. Prabhupada has translated this as the personality of Godhead. So because there's the impersonal Brahman, but the impersonal Brahman has as its basis and support pratishtha, Krishna. A little while ago I met two daughters, couple. One daughter's Nishtha and the other's Pratishtha. And I asked her, do you know what Pratishtha means? She said, yes. It means that Krishna becomes established in one's heart. So, Pratishtha. Brahmanohi Pratishtha Aham. Pratishtha is the basis and support. Like, there's one kind of a basis and support, just say like this building. It has a foundation. Before you build a building, unless you're in Southern California or something, you build a foundation. And the foundation is the basis and support of the house, and a good foundation, and the house will last a long time. If you've got a crack in your foundation, like this one does, you've got a problem. So, more than that kind of pratishtha, there's an existential pratishtha. The very existence of Brahman, Krishna is the pratishtha of that. He's the basis and support of Brahman. So Brahmani is the personality of Godhead. Brahmani upashamashrayam. He's taken full shelter in the personality of Godhead. And conversely, all things that are temporal and material and illusory, cast them far away. Not having an interest in pursuing those things. We discussed this a bit earlier today in relation to Kalavachar Shuddhar. Very, very dear devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya would tease him sometimes. You're so poor. Kalavachar Shuddhar. Your clothes have more holes than clothes. They're sewn 10 times over. And the roof of your cottage, there's no straw. So rainy season comes, great, you got a roof, but there's no straw on the roof. You're so poor. Why are you worshipping Krishna, the husband, or Madhava, the husband of the goddess of fortune? Look at how poor you are. You could worship this one or that one, and like many other people do, and you'd have nice clothes, and nice roof on your house, and opulence. And he has such a nice reply. Shuddhar said, everyone is bound by the same factor of time. The king has jewels in his palace, and a bird lives in a tree. And for both the bird and the king in the palace, time passes equally. And whatever it is that comes from one's past activities, one becomes the enjoyer or experiencer of that, and then it goes after the same passage of time. He was detached because he had another attachment. Brahmani upashramashrayam. When there's attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then there's detachment from other things. It's directly in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says what is called yoga is linking with the Supreme, because no one can become linked with the Supreme while one maintains attachment to this world. Or what is choosing? What is called renunciation? Excuse me. What is called renunciation is attachment to the Supreme. So real renunciation isn't I don't care. Real renunciation is I care about the Personality of Godhead. And if he supplies me what Kulaveshwar Sridhar was supplied, he's happy. And if he's supplied with what Maharaj Yudhisthira was supplied, he's happy. He can move from this position to that position and he's happy or he's happy. And back and forth, happy or happy, because the position of shelter with clear understanding. Shabde parecha nishnatam brahmani upashamashrayam tasmat gurupa padita jigyasu shreya. So the one requires a spiritual master for that reason. I've heard Prabhupada speak on it, you know, the opposite direction. If one commonly persons approach a spiritual master for some, or a sannyasi for some blessing, and you know, behind the blessing request is their material desire. I want, how does the thing go? A color TV and a home in the country by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. Something like that. So not that kind of sankalpa, not that kind of intention or request, but the request for association and service. Jigyasu Shreya Uttama. That's what's happening here. And the step of initiation is very important. It's the signifies two things: submission on the one hand, submission to the disciplic succession, and acceptance by the submission by the disciplic succession. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur described that the operative principle in initiation is the submission, because the Personality of Godhead and his representative disciplic succession, they're open arms, just like the sun shines equally everywhere. Yes? And the rain falls equally everywhere. But if the rain falls on a rock, then it doesn't moisten the soil. Or if the rain falls back in a river or in the ocean, the benefit isn't the same, but falling on fertile soil, the rain bears some fruit. Where there's receptivity, where there's eagerness to receive descending mercy, where that submission is existing, the greatest benefit will be experienced. And then there's the ongoing submission, not just submission at the time of initiation, and then it's siesta time, or becoming complacent. That can happen. And when complacency sets in, here's what Bhaktisiddhanta said. And we see it. When there's submission, but after submission sometime there's complacency sets in again, then the prior material propensities again become manifest. Just like if you have a garden. I don't know if anyone's done much gardening, probably. Some have done some. And you plant something and you water the garden. What happens? So many weeds grow. faster than the thing that you planted. So then you have to pick the weeds. And keep picking the weeds, and it's like a long process. Keep picking weeds. And if you stop picking weeds, what happens? You got a weed garden. And then it overcomes the whatever it is that you were growing. And you may have to do it for many, 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 many seasons. Keep picking weeds. Not the other, you know, whatever they, DDT and, you know, killing things. But remove the weeds. So that's part of this submission process includes overcoming the impurities of heart on the strength of the submission to the process of devotional service. In other words, carefully avoiding the offenses in the chanting of the holy name is needed. Prabhupada would commonly speak about the 10 offenses when initiation was performed, because the vow is to chant for the rest of your life. I don't invite you to do this, but if you were to do an experiment, let me try an experiment. I'll chant, but not carefully avoid the offenses, but chant for the rest of my life. It's not going to happen. You won't be able to maintain that vow. You have to maintain the vow, you have to carefully guard against offenses. You have to remove the weeds. Then you can maintain the vow. And so, avoiding the 10 offenses, offending devotees, neglecting the orders of the spiritual master, minimizing the authority of the scriptures, considering the chanting of the holy name, the glories to be exaggeration, makes up interpretation of the holy name, commits sinful activity on the strength of chanting the holy name, considering the holy name to be a karmakanda ritual, and maintaining attachments for material things, even though understanding so many instructions in the matter of the temporality of material attraction, material happiness, and overriding all things to be inattentive while chanting. So we must be careful. The essence of those 10 offenses is something that's transcendental, considering it not transcendental. Consider the 10 offenses. Something that actually is transcendental, looking at that something and contemplating and regarding that something as not transcendental, and acting accordingly. Considering and acting with a material conception. So those conceptions have to be spiritualized. And I was speaking yesterday evening about the importance of very carefully hearing Srila Prabhupada's books, reading carefully his Bhaktivedanta purports, discussing the subject matter, trying very carefully, not just a little bit, trying very, very carefully to understand and apply his teachings. Then you'll understand the weeds from the devotional creeper, and you'll have the wisdom to remove it. Because you're trying very carefully to maintain your vow of completing your chanting very carefully and achieve the purpose of the chanting, to awaken love of God. The potency is there, and all the other desirable things follow this one thing, the thing of chanting. We discussed this yesterday evening. So be very vigilant in the matter of how the qualitative way in which you do your chanting. So, I meant to say something to Madhupati before we started the yajna, but I know that, so I'm going to invite you to speak some words of appreciation of these two devotees. I know that Madhupati holds these Venkat and his wife in a very special way, special regard. They've been practicing Krishna consciousness very enthusiastically and diligently, and of course, well, I say of course, many of you know his wife's enthusiasm for performing book distribution. We just completed the marathon, and I was getting these little messages, you know, book distribution, so many books, and so many hours, and so many books, and it's so nice. And the family's going, yay, so many books, and so it's teamwork. And the teamwork inspires the rest of the congregational team. So, but it's, you know, that's just one part of one dimension, an important dimension of their service. a little little news.
Do, 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 do.
This is for the all of the U.S. and Canada. We had a goal that from the last year, whatever the distribution was of books for North America, we would increase by 20%. And they did more than that, 28%. And one of the temples that met their goal of increasing was the Central New Jersey Temple. I don't know how Tuanco did. 100%. Wow. So I've got the microphone, but you can speak nice and strongly. Can you say some words of appreciation of our nice devotees here?
Both Venkat Prabhu and Sandhya Mataji are wonderful devotees of our CNJ congregation, pillars of our CNJ congregation. Sandhya Mataji, as Maharaj was mentioning, as our book distribution is a pillar of congregation. Last year, we had book distribution marathon for 30 days in December, and she was out practically all the 30 days. And many people may argue that, okay, no, that's, sometimes people say, only if a single devotee, if a brahmachari is there, he can do regular book distribution. But here is a brahmachari who has two children, young children, and going every day for 12 hours distributing books. And this year, he did it for 2 months. December marathon started in November, and November and December, she did it for 2 months, practically every day. Every week, she would distribute books, more of, like, you know, like $3,000, $4,000. How many total Bhagavad Gita?
870
Bhagavad Gita and 1,200 Krishna books by herself alone. During our New Year's Eve program, she very nicely mentioned that the entire credit goes to Venkat Prabhu. That she had been able to do that because Venkat Prabhu was taking charge of the children at home.
I asked about it. This is very nice, but what about the children? Are they feeling, you know, they were, yeah, Mom, go. On weekends, they'll go with you. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, Mataji was able to do that because of Venkat Prabhu. So, very nice partnership in book distribution. So, apart from that, she wonderfully hosted senior devotees. Recently, Visakha Mataji came to CNJ congregation, and throughout her stay, she was so impressed with the CNJ congregation devotees and so nicely hosted by Sandhya Mataji at different places. So, and apart from that, cooking and inviting devotees and teaching children Bhagavad Gita every Saturday. So, both of them are doing wonderful service. Yeah. This is part of the Bhakti Viksha, Bodhan Bhakti Prabhu's Bhakti Viksha here. And always inviting new devotees to the
Bhakti Viksha. Very nice, thank you. So, this is a nice assembly of many well-wishing devotees. Your presence here makes the event additionally auspicious. Please give your blessings that Venkat and his wife Sandhya can carry on steadily in their Krishna conscious practices, and assisting the Hare Krishna movement to grow by their good example. So can you both go make a little path for them? Go before Srila Prabhupada. With your left side to Prabhupada, please. Hare Krishna. That can go up. That can go up. Yeah. You're losing your chatter, but at least you still have your dhoti. Come sit over here. Come over here. Right over here. Right over here. And pay obeisances over here, too. I can't hear you. Prabhupada wanted the devotees to say their obeisances aloud.
Hello.
There we go. Hare Krishna. That's pretty special obeisances. That's very good. Very good. He has a fancy haircut. Very fashionable. Come. Come right here. Right here. Venkat, right here. Mataji, you do the same. Obeisances. Okay. You help him get it straight, okay? Okay. So we're going to do our vows now. Before Sri Sri Gornatai, Sitaram Lakshman, Hanuman, Gopal Giridhari, Srila Prabhupada, and all the assembled devotees as witness to your vows. Okay? Madhupati too. Okay. Okay. How many rounds you'll chant every day?
Minimum 16 rounds.
Okay. And the rules that you'll follow?
4 regulatory principles.
Which are?
No intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling.
Okay, very good. And you'll carefully follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings for the rest of your life, yes?
Yes, Maharaj.
Very good. Initiated name is Virabhadra Das. Virabhadra Das ki. Go sit down. Virabhadra is the son of Lord Nityananda. And following Lord Nityananda, you can sit back in your other seat there, he became a very, very powerful Vaishnava in our line of disciplic succession. And could I have my computer? I want to read something. So, how many rounds you'll chant every day?
16 minutes.
Okay. And the rules that you'll follow?
4 regulatory principles.
Yes.
No meat eating. No intoxication. No gambling. No illicit sex.
Okay. And... wow. you'll very carefully, following your husband, follow the teachings of Srila Prabhupada for the balance of your life.
Yes, ma'am.
Very good. Your initiated name is Srimati Devi Dasi. I want to read to you from a letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote to a disciple he named Srimati Devi Dasi, so you can refer to this later. The meaning is a meaning, it's a formal title and it's an address of endearment. And commonly we hear Srimati Radharani or Srimati in the name of some eternal associate of Krishna or Ram or like that. I am very glad that a sincere soul like you has become attracted with this movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is your very good fortune. Now please take care of your advancement in Krishna consciousness by following strictly the prescribed methods for reviving your dormant love of Krishna. I am very glad to accept you as my initiated disciple, and your spiritual name is Srimati Devi Dasi. I am returning your beads, duly chanted, herewith to you. Please continue to faithfully serve the Lord by chanting His holy name 16 rounds daily on the beads, going on Sankirtan, following the regular principles, and avoiding the 10 offenses. working in cooperation to spread this Sankirtan movement, studying our philosophy carefully, and keeping always happy in Krishna consciousness, you can take good advantage of the association of devotees and be guided progressively by your elder god brothers and sisters in the matter of executing your Krishna consciousness without difficulty. Hoping this meets you in good health, your ever well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So, you can find that. It's February 1971. Prabhupada writing to Srimati Devi Dasi, giving her name.